This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 120B, page 456. And we have been dealing with the kingdoms of nature, six of them, excluding the kingdom of solar lives, some of which may still be on our planet, and interpolating instead the Deva kingdom in the sixth place. Of course, it is the number six is the number of form. It implies spirit having descended in an involutionary manner into matter, and then with the nine you rise out of it. I'm doing it a little backwards here because then it'll look right for you. I suppose I should make all these charts and that kind of thing, but I'm not the type. So I'll just have to let this be a verbal thought, and then if somebody wants to lay this all out using the seventh ray and the fourth ray and so forth, and the fifth ray, they can do that. So the mineral kingdom, yes, the base of the spine center. All the centers are expressing through, or the full potential of all the centers are centered in the one center. So it says all centers functioning as one. It doesn't really have all centers. It simply has the potential for all centers. There is a, I think the word is good, foundational synthesis. And let's just say the physical body is the only one which is really complete. So this is the kingdom in which an objective kind of completeness can be seen. Everything within the physical body that is of a non-etheric nature is really a member of the mineral kingdom. It doesn't have to be like a hard mineral as we usually see. Even in a way, hydrogen is a mineral. The elements are mineral from that point of view. So we have gone through six kingdoms and inserted the Deva kingdom in the sixth place, the Deva evolution in the sixth place of form building, and it relates to the sacral center, which produces the dense physical form. Of course, the Devas are a lot more subtle than that, but they are responsible somehow in their lower brackets for giving embodiment. And when you think about the sixth ray, the desire for form, as it's centered in the sacral center with the power of manifestation of the seventh ray, the combination of the six and the seven, we see how form comes into being. A strong desire and the possibility of precipitating the etheric arrangement, number seven, into the seventh level, often ruled by the third ray. The third ray frequently rules the dense material. You can relate it to the seventh as well, but generally seven is related to the ethers and the three to the density, which comes from the last solar system. Well, we study and we get some clarity on a few things. You still see through a glass darkly. Then suddenly under Mercury, lines of light shoot forth from distinctive areas that we have studied, and the pattern becomes illumined. And that sets up the process of pure reason. I sometimes think that, in a way, although pure reason and love are given equivalence, I think that pure reason precedes love and begins to reveal the intuition, kind of a sequence from pure reason to intuition to love, love in the higher sense in which it is expressed by the second factor in this series, the hierarchy. So under Isis, we are putting things back together, and the divine pattern and purpose will be seen when these things come together in the right way, which is an archetypal arrangement, and that archetypal arrangement will somehow reveal the love which holds the archetype in that proper arrangement in conformity with the purpose. And the purpose, to me, has a strong second aspect nature in the first aspect domain. You know, what I'm trying to do here as I talk to you, obviously I'm trying to piece all this together myself. And if this effort of bringing things together reveals some a greater pattern to the listener or the reader, then my purpose will have been accomplished. Obviously, we're not going to get the whole picture at this time. We're just not going to get it. We're not to the point in the development of our mind or our intuition where the whole picture can be revealed, but we're working on the planetary, systemic, and cosmic jigsaw puzzle. And you know how it is, the more pieces you find, the more they suggest the kind of piece which must come next. So the more pieces there are, the greater ease of magnetization of the next piece which must fall into place. Rays 2 and 5 are active in this, and ray 7, you might say. Ray 2 for the whole pattern, ray 5 for the function of all the pieces and how they fit, and ray 7 for the final arrangement, which is the proper one, 2, 5, and 7. Okay, now we go on to say that this tabulation may serve to make a little clearer the present general plan. He's always careful in terms of time, isn't he? Watch his qualifiers, you know. It's the present plan, not the plan forever. It's general, not specific. But it is useful. Or the blueprint from which we will arrange the actual substances, the actual building materials. The general present general plan or blueprint of the evolutionary development of consciousness. More of consciousness, really, than a form. This whole area of the study of the science of triangles relates to consciousness. The study of the science of triangles relates more to consciousness than to form, just as ever the triangle relates more to consciousness and the square more to form. Other developments are proceeding simultaneously, such as the responsive unfoldment of the form aspect and the evolution of the deva. Well, those two go hand in hand, because responsiveness, I believe, was the quality that the devas were attempting to develop. And we've had some pretty unresponsive forms, but now as the deva kingdom becomes more responsive, and they are those beings who build themselves into the form will become more responsive. So form becoming more responsive as the devas become more responsive. Other developments are proceeding simultaneously, such as the responsive unfoldment of the form aspect. I mean, you look about those early, at those early human forms. On Easter Island, there were some Lemuro-Atlantean forms. Some people say that actually those statues go all the way down into the earth and are not just the busts or the upper part of the body, but represent the full stature of the kind of beings that were at that time. They don't look very refined. They look just a little bit crude, I would say, and the form has been refining all the time. So the Deva kingdom has been becoming more ethereal, more responsive, more refined. Refinement of the Deva kingdom, let's call it that. And with that, pari passu, we have the refinement of the forms. So, refinement of the Deva kingdom. Or angel line, which parallels the human and to which I referred in A Treatise in Cosmic Fire extensively, extensively. If you really want to study the Deva kingdom, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire is the book to which to repair. Spend lots of time in that book. I remember a wonderful lecture given maybe 20 years ago, 21 years ago, by an excellent healer by the name of Lily Cornford. She helped so many, including, I understand, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. That's the story. He was heavily drug addicted, and she really... really helped him. She gave a wonderful lecture on the Deva kingdom at our conference in the year 1992 in California. And I realized that so much of her material was from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. I realized this is the place to go for Well, I think as much material that has been collected in an intelligent way about the David Kingdom. I wouldn't say don't consult other sources, because every good source can aspect every other and throw light upon every other. But right there, it is a book written on the first and third ray, and the David Kingdom has so much to do with the form, with the form arranging third ray. In a way, the second is the form builder, and the pattern that is indicated by the second ray is carried out in motion by the agents of the third ray. So the second ray holds the pattern and magnetically attracts the other factors into position, and they are also helped by being manipulated and moved into position by those that respond to the third ray, and that's called work. Moving things into an archetypal position is called work. Of course, so often in the beginning we don't move into an archetypal position. We have work that has no true meaning or purpose, and no true archetype behind it. We choose our own forms by desire, but then everything will have to be, quote, reworked, removed, rearranged into an archetypal position, according to the fundamental magnetism of the second ray, the ray of the divine pattern. So anyway, we've been talking here, haven't we, though? Other developments are proceeding simultaneously, such as the responsive unfoldment of the form aspect and the evolution of the Deva, or angel line, which parallels the human, and I want to say parallels the human in the process of refinement, and to which I referred in the treatise on cosmic fire. A third great scheme of evolution is proceeding. I did get into that, didn't I? Human Deva, and divide the Deva into Deva and elemental. I suppose, well, maybe that's what he's going to talk about. Maybe. I don't want to jump the gun here. A great scheme of evolution is proceeding that can only be referred to as the, no, he's not going to say that. He's going to say something different. Can only as the unfoldment of divine purpose on its own plane. Well, we have the 49 sons of Fohat, the 49 rays, and the 49 spirits of darkness. Really, seven fundamental sons of Fohat, which correlate with the third aspect, and perhaps with the Deva aspect, I guess. Seven that correlate with the seven rays, and perhaps with the human, and then what? Then we have seven spirits of darkness. Anyway, they are related to the unfoldment of the highest aspect. I think we'll have to find a way to correlate these. But there is a correlation between human, Deva, and elemental, and the first three rays. Eventually, the human kingdom, though I wonder if it doesn't have a first ray monad, will have a second ray soul. It proceeds by destruction, we are told, and Devas proceed by building. So, ray one and ray two, the masculine kingdom, humanity, and the, even though it will have a secondary soul at some point, and the feminine kingdoms, the devas. Okay, a third great scheme of evolution is proceeding, and that can only be referred to as the unfoldment of divine purpose on its own plane, which is what? Can we call it the monadic plane? Or the logoic plane? Possibly. Of this, humanity has as yet no faintest conception, because its consciousness is still held within the limitations of its own kingdom in nature. We have not entered that area of sensitivity corresponding to the plant kingdom in a way, which is the kingdom of souls. There's a very strong second ray in the plant kingdom, and also in this kingdom of souls, and there is there is a kind of responsiveness present in both. The hierarchy is attempting to become responsive to this form of energy, and so we might call this, if we can, symbolic evolution. It's a scheme of evolution. Now, what have we here? Yes, I'm pretty sure that that is what he means. He seems to be talking about the human and Deva evolution. We can divide the Deva into Deva and elemental, and then a higher type of evolution, the evolution of the great lights within Shambhala, the planetary lives becoming solar lives, the Shambhalic unfoldments, and he says we can have not the faintest notion of what that is, because apparently our consciousness is still so confined within that which the senses reveal within the fourth kingdom, and what the lower vehicles reveal. This other type of evolution is occurring on very high subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, as I suggested, the monadic subplane, maybe the logoic subplane. Those are two really occult subplanes. Always the lower five is considered to be exoteric, and the upper two are considered to be esoteric. And we'll always have to look at that division of 2 and 5 or 1, 1, and 5. There is another point of interest to which I wish to refer, and it is one which is little realized by the average occult student, which is, of course, what we are. You know, he's writing for us, the average occult student. And I refer to the outlets of planetary energy through the means of which great and general effects are produced in the external planetary life. So here we have points or foci through which the inner energy finds a kind of outer release. In this fifth root race, everything is numerically correspondential, isn't it? In this fifth root race, there are only 5 such outlets as far as humanity are concerned or is concerned. And man's responsiveness to them is demonstrated by the fact of their relative importance in conditioning world events and world affairs. Wherever one of these outlets for spiritual force is found, there will also be found a city of spiritual importance in the same location. So what are we really being told here? The outlet comes first, and the city manifests as a result of the outlet's force. Well, we have been told of 5 endocrine glands, which are 5 active continents. Interesting correspondence. And on these various continents, I suppose, the outlets will be found in the... Well, let's see what he means by the outlets. Yes, okay, well, it is the cities. These 5 points are the cities which correspond to the outlets. Now, there's not a one-to-one correspondence here because London and Geneva are both in Europe, although the British Empire extends farther than Europe, or it did. It's probably not called that so much today, more the British Commonwealth or the Commonwealth of Nations. New York is used for both the northern North American continent and for the South American continent at the moment, but there will be such an outlet for the South American continent. There are two in Europe, and London will touch such places as Australia and New Zealand and so forth. Tokyo is for Asia, and Darjeeling is for Asia as well. So the 5 endocrine glands which are active at this time, or the 5 continents which are considered expressions of the 5 centers of humanity, not the sacral, and not the base of the spine, but everything else. These five continents do not, each of them, have one of these outlets. So the five continents, which correspond to the five active centers in the fifth root race, do not all have the outlets and cities we are talking about. So basically what we have here is the Americas, Asia, and Europe as the most important areas which are sponsoring or producing these outlets. The Americas, Asia, Americas have two, Asia has two, and Europe. Well, can we say that Europe has two? In a way, we're going to run out of... the Americas has one, and that's New York. So, one in the Americas, two in Asia, and two in Europe, although the London center is more far-reaching than the one in Europe and includes areas which are not included in Europe. Now, we seem to be leaving Africa out of the picture. It is a continent. We are leaving and has no outlet. We are leaving South America, which is a continent and has no such outlet. Australia may be somewhat covered by London, but we are leaving it out of the picture as well. And we're certainly leaving Antarctica out of the picture. That's kind of wonder whether this Antarctica is going to correspond one day after what kind of polar shifts, because it is considered a continent, rightly or wrongly so. Will it correspond to the base of the spine? Right now, it's in a deep freeze, and the base of the spine center is also in a deep freeze. So, let's see here. The normal continents, seven, are, let's say, North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Antarctica, and I think Australia is considered both a continent and a country. That I can look up rapidly. I think if I can get to Google here, what a world, huh? Is Australia a continent? Australia continent. Yes, Australia is a continent comprising mainland Australia, Tasmania, etc., etc. So it's both a continent and a country. It is, in a way, an old Lemurian continent, and I think, in a way, corresponds to the sacral center. And Antarctica, Antarctica, let's spell it correctly, Antarctica, to the base of spine center, possibly. And then we have as well North America, South America. Well, New York is the outlet on North America, and right now it would be a throat center. We will have to deal with a... Europe may hold the head center as a continent at the present time. It seems to be most the representative of the fifth root race. So Europe, the head center, let's say, for the moment, for this time. we have to deal with a heart center, maybe, well, that would be interesting. South America, the heart. This is just a guess, and this is in the future, because Brazil and that second ray the sixth root race will be involved. There is a heart center meaning also to New York, but it is a throat center. We might wonder here, let's see, we have Europe. Now I'm going on the basis of continents. I'm not going on the basis of these city centers, because he's going to tell us what they are all about. Aha. Uh-huh. And there's a whole question of an ajna center, isn't there? You kind of wonder, maybe I'm wrong about this head center here. It could be, Europe could be considered ajna corresponding to the fifth ray. To the fifth ray. With Asia, possibly, as the head center. I remember some work that we all did in the International Academy of Esoteric Astrology. Some of the best astrologers of the esoteric type were gathered together, and we tried to sort some of this out. I don't think we ever came to a complete and fitting conclusion. Now, can we say that North America would be the throat center? The throat center? Maybe, although we have a very strong heart center activation in the United States and in Canada. Or will South America be the solar plexus? You see, now what we have to look at, we have Asia, we have Africa. Now, we might want to assign that right away to the sacral center, but that may not be true at all. We have the head center in Asia, the ajna center in Europe, the throat center in North America. It's not going to be Africa, I don't think. The heart center. It's possible here that we're dealing with the solar plexus center. Either Africa or South America. I don't see that Africa would yet be the heart center. It has a lot of ancient history, and it has to go through certain kinds of developments, which it will, probably even in the seventh root race. And some of these continents rise and fall. If we wanted to look at continents at the Atlantean age, it wouldn't be what we have now. And continents in the Lemurian period wouldn't be what we have now at all. So this will probably change with each root race. But that which is Africa may have a very important rhythmic future concerning the seventh ray in the seventh root race, such as Africa will be at that time. So will South America be the heart? I don't think it will be the throat. It's more, because that is, in a way, requires more of the mental development. South America has the soft line rays, which correlate more with the heart. Africa temporarily could be the solar plexus. The sacral center could well be Australia. It certainly has produced a tremendous plethora of forms. Charles Darwin went there just because of the incredible variety of its nature, and that is what the seventh ray, third ray, sacral center does. There's a lot of third ray in the sacral center in terms of the procreation and production of forms. And our Antarctica, let's see, is it on ice? And is the base of the spine center on ice? And what would happen if the shift of the Earth's poles was such that Antarctica became, or left its present state of refrigeration. Anyway, these are some thoughts. You can see that we've got seven endocrine glands, and these glands correspond to the continents. In man, however, the centers behind these glands are not all active. The sacral center, though seemingly very active in the Aquarian age, is overall subsiding, we're told that the sacral center will have to remain active until two-thirds of humanity is on the path. Well, that's still a long time, but overall, in terms of humanity, it is subsiding, whereas other centers are growing more powerful. The base of the spine center, because humanity is not even a first-degree initiate, is not active. And the sacral center, because humanity is becoming a first-degree initiate, will have to be controlled. The creativity is coming forth. A more creative humanity as it becomes less sacral in its nature, regardless of the present Uranian Aquarian stimulation, which will have its own term. It won't last forever. There has to be a great heart unfoldment. Well, you know, in one way, North America is a candidate for the heart. New York is interesting because it has a second ray meaning and a third ray meaning. The third ray may, as the great communication center, the third ray may be more prominent. But the United States as a whole has a secondary soul. But we're talking about much longer developmental periods here than that in which a country may last. We're talking about root races and branch races. They have a long duration, millions of years for root races and the branch races. Each one of them, well, I'd have to talk to Philip about this, but each one of them probably 250,000 years or more. So just because of the second ray potentials of the United States and Canada, let's say, it doesn't mean that those will be enough to guarantee that the thymus gland and the heart center are located in that part of the world in an ongoing way. Especially, well, maybe now they are, but we are heading into the sixth root race. And the question is, will continents change accordingly with every root race? I think we've entered an area of study that the Manu and his group, in which the Manu and his group are the experts. So this is just tentative and faint indications. So we just don't have an active base of the spine at this time. Who knows what Antarctica does in sustaining the life of the planet? Who knows, actually, if we've actually determined correctly what the continents are? But Antarctica does seem to be a very large landmass. And all of these are quite far down. I suppose they reflect, in a way, the Aryan or fifth root race. In a way, the equator is the diaphragm, and so you might expect to find the heart center north of the equator, the throat center north of the equator, the adzen center north of the equator, and the center in the head north of the equator. And that would leave room for only one center activated south of the equator at the present time. And that's not really going to fit, because five endocrine glands are, five endocrine glands are active. I don't want to paint myself into a corner here. But if we have North America as the heart, how many continents do we have in the north? We really only have North America in the north, we have Europe in the north, and we have Asia in the north, and that's not enough. Those three, which are north of the equator, cannot correspond to four centers which are above or north of the diaphragm. So there's a little problem there. Certainly, a great intelligence is coming out of the Americas, and also an incipient heart energy. But maybe in the sixth root race, that heart center will have to move into South America, even though it's not north of the equator. We can see about that. Well, these are the kind of thoughts you get yourself into when you try to work with correspondences. We do have seven continents, at least as we count them now, and only five of them are active, and three are above the equator and two are below. So then we have to find presently centers for those two which are below, because the continents are endocrine glands and the centers are behind them, and five centers are active, so only three centers can be active north of the equator. And they would have to be, at least by my present reckoning, the head center, the ajna center, and the throat center. We do have the keen intelligence and purpose operating in a way north of the equator. Of course, that can change, and you know, there are satellites of those nations that are north of the equator. When you look at the British Commonwealth, they are satellites coming from the fifth root race. When it comes to South America and South America and Africa, it can be said that in humanity the throat is very active, and I think this is the solution. The heart center is not yet sufficiently active and probably will become sufficiently active with the ascendancy of the South American continent. But then who knows how the continental rearrangement will occur, as they do seem to occur with every root race. Atlantis had a very different continental structure than we do now in the fifth root race, and the theosophical maps of Lemuria, from wherever they were derived, show a very, very different structure, with so many, so much of the landmass south of the equator. Well, I think that gives us enough to think about. Whether all these things are accurate or not, that is another matter. But you know, when you speculate, you cannot hope that every speculation will be accurate. So London for the British Empire, New York for the Western Hemisphere, including the two Americas, Geneva for all of Europe, including the USSR, but not including other parts of Asia, Tokyo for the Far East, and Darjeeling for Central Asia and India. I mean, it may be that we cannot really consider the USSR Asia per se, or, you know, Russia per se. And even the countries that were part of Russia, they are still, in some ways, they are hybrids between European civilization and Asian civilization. But Tokyo for the Far East, interesting, you know, nothing in China there, and Tokyo is the major ruler. It may not look like it at the present moment. There are certain cities in China that are arising, and you wonder why they are not, one of them is not the ruler of the Far East, but DK has this far vision of what will be developed when we understand more about national psychology and the psychology of the cities which represent five great planetary inlets. Darjeeling is very Asian. It is in first ray India. It has probably a closer connection to Shambhala than any of the other cities here given. Okay, well, there's so much about this national psychology as we get into the first aspect area. Later, two more points or outlets of energy will be added to these, but the time is not yet. And we've already shown that these outlets of energy are not necessarily on every continent. So the endocrine glands and the centers are not necessarily corresponding to the outlets of energy. Not necessarily. These outlets may or may not be found on every continent. They certainly aren't now. You know, and as great as beautiful city as Sydney, Australia may be, And it's being the largest city in Australia. It's not one of these planetary outlets. The reference is London, and there's nothing to speak of in Antarctica that could be called an outlet, nor is there presently in Africa, nor is there presently in South America. So the outlets, it seems that the outlets are in a very, seem to be in a very fifth root race configuration. This may change in the sixth root race. Okay, so the position of the outlets is not continental at this time, or on equally distributed over continents. Will it be so in the future? Sixth root race, will it finally be so in the seventh root race? We don't know what the land masses will be like. Through these five places and areas in their neighborhood, although if you think about it, the neighborhood of London extends to the South Pacific and to Canada to a degree, the energy of five rays pours forth. Watch out here for the complexity of rays, because sometimes he gives a ray that pertains to a city as a planetary outlet, and then a couple of more rays that pertains to the city in itself. So sometimes the city will have actually three rays, like New York will have the third ray, the second ray, and the sixth ray. And Darjeeling, if I'm correct, will have the first ray, second ray, and the fifth ray. I'm not arranging them in order, but we can look at this as we go. We can see that in the study of triangles, Master DK is trying to be very practical and to speak about our earthly life and our great centers, which condition the human beings growing up in them or in their vicinity. Through these five places and areas in their neighborhood, the energy of five rays pours forth, conditioning the world of men, leading to effects of planetary significance and determining the trend of events. So we discover that this is all this is practical in the life of humanity. A study of history, a great third ray study, really, in which I find myself deficient. I'll do my best, but obviously others coming in here with more of a historical understanding could make more sense of some of this. Political science and history, it's sort of first ray and third ray, and I have not made a great study of it, but as I say, it will open some doors to those who perhaps have a still better grasp of these possibilities. A study of history and of current affairs will produce some understanding of their importance in connection with four of them. Well, Tokyo, New York, Geneva, London, yes, and maybe leaving Darjeeling out, possibly, huh? Possibly leaving Darjeeling out. And I guess he goes on to say that the effect of the force flowing through the Darjeeling center is not so immediately apparent. If it has a lot of first ray to it in some way, it's pretty occult. The first ray is the most occult, the most recessed. It is a secret in a way. And Master Moria is behind that type of revelation, the first purpose of Sanat Kumara, which is the unknown, unseen, unheard purpose of Sanat Kumara. So there is a great secretness with this first aspect. The jewel in the lotus corresponding to the first aspect is only slowly revealed, and the head center is the very last to be fully developed. I think Roberto Assagioli, you know, the great psychologist, one of DK's students, asked DK some questions about the nature of the head center, and DK demurred. He just, you know, said, well, look, these are very occult matters, and nothing really has been given out exoterically. and nor did he give out anything in response to the question. So the effect of the force flowing through Darjeeling, the Darjeeling Center, is not so immediately apparent, but it is of major importance as a distributing agency for the hierarchy, and particularly for those members of the hierarchy who are dealing with the current human affairs in the time of this momentous crisis. If you think about where the masters have been reported as living in their physical vehicle, where do the masters with whom we have most to do presently live? And we've heard, that's interesting. I mean, some live in Europe, maybe, or are frequently found in Europe in their physical nature, like Master R or Master Jesus. But the three who are behind the giving out of the agent's wisdom in greater measure to humanity at this time, or Master M, KH, and DK, they seem to have had their places near Shigatse, which is a Tibetan city, or whether or not it's now called China. And that would be under the Darjeeling Center. So certain members of the hierarchy are distributing their forces under the influence of that particular location, Darjeeling. So to most of humanity who doesn't know anything about the hierarchy and doesn't believe in it, these forces have to be quite subjective at this time. All right. These five points of conditioning energy produce two triangles of force in their interrelation. London, New York, Darjeeling, and Tokyo, New York, Geneva. Interesting that New York should be the nexus for two triangles and find itself, for the time being, while there are only five such outlets, to be the crossing center. So New York is the nexus. And you can see the London-India-New York connection. The United States, Great Britain, and India. So these are the countries involved. So I just want to get this down a little bit here. We have the UK, USA, and India. And here we have Japan, USA, and Europe. Or, in this case, Switzerland or France. That's where it seems to be. I spent a little time there with one of my colleagues who lived in France but worked in the UN in Geneva. So we were crossing the border constantly. And let's just say that the fact that we do have a second-ray country in America, the blend of the second and the third rays here are very communicative. New York is a great communication center, probably undertaking the third ray function at the present time in the United States. Later, we're told that whatever Washington is will move to New York, and then maybe a more first ray function will be there. But there's let's just say that for some reason, and probably one that can be pretty clear to us, New York and the USA were chosen as the major home of the United Nations. Now, I know there is something in Geneva, and there is a UN headquarters in Geneva that has a very strong second ray connected to it. So, as I say, the second, third, and sixth ray are those that one expects to find in relation to New York. Right now, it's a third-ray center in the United States, with Los Angeles undertaking the heart center, I do believe, and Washington the first ray. So it has the third ray connected with it. In a little while, we'll see that it has the sixth ray connected with it. And also, it's in a country which has a major second ray and represents that area, 2, 3, and 6. With Tokyo and Geneva, New York, the Far East is brought into relation with Europe. So let's look how this goes. This would be Far East. Far East, the Western Hemisphere, or as it's called, the West, often, and West Hemisphere, West, and Europe. Okay. And that is Japan, USA, and Switzerland. Well, the in the Manners Department, so much is known about these things. Interesting that this third ray book, a third ray aspect of a great second ray treatise, because the treatise on the seven rays is all under the second ray, but it's a third ray part of it, just the way we have a lot of the seventh ray involved, the seventh sub-ray involved in the esoteric healing book. You know, and perhaps in a way the first sub-ray involved in the second, in the rays and the initiations, and sort of the, well, fourth sub-ray in a way involved in the second volume of esoteric psychology. Obviously we have seven rays, and we're not going to get sub-rays for each one of these books, but we can somewhat see what is involved. So the plot thickens and we see these practical applications, and also the future and the destiny of great cities, an ideal, you know, for them to live up to once the rays are accepted and the mode of expression of these rays is cultivated in a high and deliberate way, a conscious way, in these cities. We are told, you know, of what it takes for the reappearance of the Christ to occur, and how much has to occur in these five planetary outlets for ray force. Are they outlets for planetary chakras per se? Well, it looks like the continents are the outlets for the chakras, and these are outlets for ray force, so it seems. Geneva and Darjeeling are two centers through which pure spiritual energy can be directed with more facility than through the other three. So why would this be? Perhaps less affected by glamour and illusion. Geneva has a very strong second ray at some point, we will see. And Darjeeling also, interestingly, I think a second ray, though a first ray from another perspective. So there is more perhaps disinterestedness in these cities. They are not so caught up in perpetuating the illusion. And they therefore constitute the higher points of their respective triangles. So this let's emphasize this with a larger font, and we may see that some first ray is going to be found in connection with both of these, as well as second ray. With Darjeeling, we know this is true, and I seem to remember from reading the book earlier that there will be first ray involved in Geneva. But as I say, there are different levels at which the rays are assigned. The planetary outlets, the country in which they find themselves, the place in the country that they occupy, the particular type of chakra they occupy within the country, and then just generally their ray configuration. These are different levels which are determining the ray structure or the ray expression of these cities. So Geneva, in a sense, more important than New York and Tokyo, purer, you might say, or whenever there is a purer vehicle, the soul chooses to work through it. We have these different vehicles through which the soul and personality choose to express themselves, and it's always the vehicle of higher vibratory state, of a higher vibratory state, through which the soul chooses to express itself. At least that's usually the case. Then the personality expresses itself through one of the other two vehicles, which has a lower vibration than the one through which the soul expresses itself. Darjeeling, interesting that when you look at London and New York, you kind of wonder to what extent they are not being controlled from Darjeeling. I would just say that these two cities are hierarchically responsive. And there have been, in these two cities, when you look at the, well, the Geneva too, of course, but when you look at the Alice Bailey work, London and New York have been the most active centers, at least as far as I can see, and the masters have been under the influence of Darjeeling in their locations, at least the locations for their physical nature, although, you know, it does seem to be possible to put in an appearance anywhere where you, when you've taken the fifth initiation, and to materialize and to dematerialize. Geneva will also have its effect on New York, so a sort of Asian and European stream are controlling in New York, and whether the Geneva and Tokyo connection has been fully developed, I cannot say. Okay, so Geneva and Darjeeling are two centers through which pure spiritual energy can be directed. And is this triadal energy? Is this related to the first ray? Let's see. With more facility than through the other three. And they therefore constitute the higher points of their respective triangles. So the developments there for the control of these great population centers like Tokyo, London, and New York, that development is very important. They are more subjective in their influence than are London, New York, or Tokyo, and together they form five centers of impelling energy today. And let's say, well, how can we say it? Impelling humanity towards its destiny. If I do begin to slur my words, it's either, well, it's not alcohol, that's for sure, and it's not drugs, that's for sure, and it's not coffee. I think it might be either old age or this will to persist no matter what and just make the body do what it has to do in the effort to bring these commentaries forward and to stimulate the thought which may arise as a result. I'm not usually one who slurs his words, but occasionally as I slog on hour after hour, I find the slurring occurring. Please forgive me for that. It may interest you. Let's see, where are we? It may be time to begin the third section. Well, it is time to begin the third section. So let's do this. We'll say this is the end of Esoteric Astrology 120b. Page, always interested in the page, 458, looks like. And the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 120c, page 458. That sounds about right. Okay, friends, we'll see you shortly in number C, letter C.